Please grab a pen or pencil and go to the bulletin, today's lesson. I'm going to ask you to circle a couple of words here. If you look at verse 20 and 23, you will see the word commandment. Please circle them, commandment. And right next to them, write down a word, Hebrew word. I'm going to spell it for you, mitzvah, M-I-T-Z, V for Victor, and A-H, mitzvah. And also go to the same verse, 20 and 23, circle another word, teaching. Once again, you will see teaching twice, one in 20 and one in 23. And right next to them, write down another Hebrew word, Torah, T-O-R-A-H. And if you're done, and we'll come back to those later on. My message this morning would be a perfect sermon for children and youth. And here's why I believe so. In America, we celebrate two special days, Mother's Day in May and Father's Day in June. However, in Korea, where I was born and raised, they combine these two days and celebrate them together in one day, calling it Parents' Day. And that day, children are instructed to show their respect to their parents and do something special for their parents. It's an annual reminder for children to appreciate, respect, and listen to their parents. Now, if you look at today's text, it appears to begin with a command for a child, a son, to listen to father's and mother's instructions, right? I remember growing up, my mom used to tell me, there are a few things that she told me and instilled in my heart. One of the things was this: my son, even though you make one-tenth of your expenses, be sure to work. In other words, don't drop any job because you think, this never make it. She says, no, you start somewhere small. And I remember, so much so that I value and respect the honest workers, regardless how much money they make. Here's another one from my mother. I think she brainwashed me on this one. She said, my son, if you listen to me, mother, you will get extra rewards, such as special cake reserved for me or something. I think she bribed me with that. Anyway, we all have, you know, mother's instruction, father's lesson, and all these things. Now, I also believe my sermon this morning is also good for grown-ups as well. And here's why. If you go back to today's lesson and carefully looking at it, focusing on the words that you circled it, such as commandment, mitzvah, and teaching, Torah, when you read the Old Testament, you'll see that whenever you see the word mitzvah and Torah, mostly they refer to not human commandments, but divine commandments and teaching. We're talking about God's commandment and God's teaching. And therefore, I can safely say to you that here it is God, the Heavenly Father, who speaks to us, his children, to abide in his commandments and teachings for our own good. Now, with that understanding, let's listen carefully to a wise counsel from our God in heaven. In a nutshell, he says this to us, my child, if you never depart from my commands and diligently observe them, they will take good care of you for the rest of your life. And today I'm standing before you and solemnly testify to anyone that that promise of God in Proverbs chapter 6 has come true in my life. Now, let's go to the text again. I'm going to expound today's text verse by verse, so you can look at the bulletin. Verse 20 begins with God calling us my son or my daughter. You know, I love children, brown, yellow, black and white. I love children in the world. But I cannot call anyone and everyone my child, my daughter. I have only one daughter whom I can call, this is my daughter. You see what I'm saying? I'm not discriminating. It's just that there is a special relationship between the parent and the child. And that's how God calls here, my son, my daughter. We are in a very special relationship with God, who is our Heavenly Father, and we are His loving children. He loves us, He speaks with us, and treats us as His own. And He also makes sure that we are all well taken care of physically and emotionally and spiritually. For our life's journey, no matter how many years we have, God also provides us with discipline, training, tools, and a guide. And all these helps that I mentioned are packed very nicely in one book we call God's Word, or the Scripture, or the Bible. And therefore, it is our duty and privilege to pay attention to His commands in the Bible. Now, if you read today's text one more time, you'll find this. It consists of two parts. First part, verse 20 and 21, and second part is verse 22 and below. And the first part is our part, and second part, God's part. If we do our things first, and God says, I'll fulfill my promise to you in verse 22. Now, what are the three things? Observe God's commands, second, forsake them not, and third, bind them to your heart. And then God will do three things for us. He will guide us, He'll watch over us, and He will talk to us. Very simple format. Now let's check them out one by one. I mentioned that three things we ought to do before we expect God to fulfill His promise for us. The first one is observe. Go back to verse 20. It says, my son, observe the commandment of your father. The original Hebrew meaning to observe has the meaning of guard, watch, keep, and protect. Now think with me for a while. The meaning of guarding. Nobody guards anything that is worthless. For example, we don't think twice when we remove trash, do you? In fact, we are very glad to get rid of it. We guard something valuable or important in our lives, such as our financial portfolios. If you have investments, we guard our families from any harm. We protect our country and so forth. And here's another thing God says, worth guarding, God's commandments. The second thing He expects us to do is that forsake not. Once again, read the verse 20 there. And do not forsake the teaching of your mother. The original Hebrew verb to forsake has the meaning of to skin off. Have you ever tried to peel up something like an orange? You peel up the skin, you know, of the orange to eat inside. That's the meaning of to forsake, skin off. But God says, do not skin off God's commands from your life. Do not detach yourself from God's commands. Now, let me move on. Verse 21. Third thing we need to do is this. Bind them continually on your heart. Tie them around your neck. Now, I told you before, Hebrew literary technique is this. They talk about one thing, but they repeat in two different ways so that we would get the message. Bind them continually on your heart and tie them around your neck, meaning the same thing. Now, the Hebrew meaning of the word to bind also means to knot. Have you ever tried to knot two strings together and make sure that they are not loose, okay? That's what it means. Knot God's commands to your heart and tie them around your neck means that always carry with you. Now, I'm just intrigued with the adverb here, continually. What's wrong with simply say bind them to your heart? Why did God add continually? Because God knows what's going on in our own hearts. He knows that our heart often wanders off from God's word and detach ourselves from God's word. That's why God said, check all the time if they, your heart and God's commands, stayed bound together. Keep your heart close to God's commands. Now, if you look at verse 22, it says this, when you walk about, they means God's commands as well as God's instructions, mitzvah and Torah, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk to you. Have you noticed here in verse 22, God's commands somehow are treated like a person. They will guide you, they'll watch over you, and they will talk to you. Okay? Now, in other words, it's not a thing, but it's a living being. There was a gentleman whose name was Derek Prince. Regarding this particular verse 22, he wrote like this, I quote, God's commands and his teaching are something that is alive. The key word is alive. They are not just words on paper. They are not just abstract ideas or concepts, but something that will keep us company if we will cling to them and if we will observe them. Indeed, God's word has life in it. Did you know that? If you read on Mark chapter 4, you will see the parable of the sower. Jesus talking about there was a sower with a plenty of seeds in his bag, go out into the field and spread the seeds all over. Some of the seeds fell on the rock, some of the seeds fell on the road, and some of them on the thorny ground, and some of them on a good soil. You know the story. Now there, Jesus says, what are the seeds? They are God's word. Do you remember seeds? Every single seed has life in it. That's we are talking about. God's word has life in it. It is living and active. Here we go again. Hebrews 4:12 says this, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The word of God is living and alive and active. Now, I said that there are three things that we need to do. Our homework, that is, observe God's commandments, forsake them not, and bind them to our heart, right? And then God is ready to bless us in the following three ways. Verse 22, God says, when you walk about, they will guide you. You know, whenever you read the scripture, God often used the word to walk, means that live our daily life. So when you live your daily life, God says, God's commands and God's teaching, mitzvah and Torah, will guide you. In our life journey, God will guide us through his word. If you look at verse 23, commandment is like what? A lamp. And instruction, the teaching is like what? A light. They'll guide you like a lamp and the light. It guides us like a pillar of cloud for Israelites for 40 years. If you remember, after Moses took them out of Egypt, we call Exodus, for the next 40 years, the people of Israel wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years, and each day God led them with what? A pillar of cloud, and night, pillar of fire. Word of God also guides us like the North Star, the star that guides the ship. And all we have to do is to follow the divine lead. That's first promise. He will guide us. Second thing is this. He will watch over us. Verse 22 says this. When you sleep, they will watch over you. Isn't it wonderful to have a 24/7 protection? You know, security guard next to you. That's a wonderful thing. Now, it's interesting that the original Hebrew meaning to watch over also carries the meaning of keeping one's mouth or be prudent of speech. In other words, God's word will watch over our mouth. You know, as pastor of this congregation, I remember I lift up your name every single day to God's attention and pray over for you and for your family. And there are 31 plus things that I pray for you. I pray for your strength, and courage and wisdom and your eternal life and all kinds of things. And one of the things that I always make sure pray for you is this, Lord, grant your people at Manahawkin Methodist Church purified lips, sanctified mouth. And I got this idea from the scripture in Zephaniah 3:9, which says, this is what God says, "For then I will give to the peoples purified lips, that all of them may call on the name of the Lord to serve him shoulder to shoulder." Let us watch out what we say, because our words have power to change things and people around us, including ourselves. Do you realize how powerful your words of your mouth can be? And they are. And here are examples. If you study the Jesus healing stories in the New Testament, in almost every single case, whenever he made someone whole, he always used his spoken words. He said, "Be healed. Your faith has made you well." All these things. After his spoken word, the person got cured. Power of God's word. Here's another story. It's not just Jesus' word only. Also, human words have power. There was a gentleman. He was a Roman centurion. He was in charge of 100 full soldiers in the Roman army. He had one of the servants, you know, very sick and was almost about to die. So he heard about Jesus and he sent his servant to Jesus asking him to make his servant whole again. Jesus says, "Okay, I'll go to your house and cure him." And this is what Roman centurion told Jesus. "Lord, I'm not worthy to have you under my roof. I'm a Gentile, you're a son of God, and I don't think I am really worthy to have you. However, just say the word." That's what he says. "Just say the word." And he continued on to Jesus, "Because Lord, I'm a soldier, I'm an officer in the army, and I have servants, you know, the soldiers under me. If I ask one soldier, 'Soldier, come here,' and he comes. If I say, 'Go to the other side and stand there,' he does the same thing. He basically obeys my word. So you can do the same thing by saying the word and my servant will be healed." And that impressed Jesus quite so much so that Jesus says, "I have never met even one person in Israel. This guy is a Gentile, but I've never seen such a strong faith in even in Israel." And guess what? According to his word, the servant got well. You see, you know, we tend to say some things without really thinking and knowing, realizing that whatever words we say and spoken have power. Okay, so what words should we say? You figure out constructive and positive words instead of destructive and negative words. Now, God's promise is that he'll guide us and he'll watch over us through his words. And last one is this. He says, verse 22, "And when you awake, they will talk to you." Once again, God's word. It's interesting that to talk, the Hebrew word here, also carries the meaning of to complain or to convict. If you look at verse 23, that's why I added on later on, further explains the benefit of God's commands. It says, "Reproofs for discipline are the way of life." In other words, anyone is a fool who refuse to be corrected of their errors, particularly by God's own word. God is faithful to lead us into the right direction. It's his promise. And God's word is eager and diligent to reprove us of our own errors. Now listen to this. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, talking about why the scripture is important. It says, "All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness." Verse 17, "So that," what's the end result? "The man of God, you and me, will be adequate, equipped for every good work." You know, I told you that God's promise in Proverbs has come true in my life. And this is what I do too. Before I start reading the Bible, every morning I do, I open the Bible and I say a very simple one-sentence prayer to God. This is what I say: "Lord, speak to me. Speak to me through your word. And God often does that to me through his word. So three things God does is that he will guide us, he'll watch over us, and he will talk and speak to us. There was a man who had a near-death experience once. And of course he went to heaven. And he saw Jesus and he was very happy. And he had so many, you know, conversations with Jesus in heaven. And one of the questions Jesus asked him was this: have you read my book? The man was ashamed because he didn't take God's word seriously. He couldn't tell a lie. Yes, Lord, I have. He couldn't tell a lie. Now, this morning, God speaks to you. Have you read my book? And what's your answer? Here's the reality, folks. God's people today in America are so deprived of God's blessings, protection, and guidance. There seems to me little difference, not much difference at all, between Christians and non-Christians. You answer. And that's the effect, that's the, on the surface, here's the deep root cause. Because God's people treat God's word as dead literature, written thousands of years ago, have nothing to do with me in the 21st century. Some of us treat God's word like abstract ideas or even myth. And they do not consider God's word living and active. And they do not observe God's commandments. And they abandon God's instructions, or even their heart is so far away and detached from God's word. That's our indictment. So do you care about yourself? Ask yourself. Yes, of course I do. Then choose God's word as your company today. Do not depart from it. Cling onto it. Meditate in it and take it along wherever you go and live it out. And then you'll experience God's promise fulfilled, the divine guidance and protection and conviction. Your life will be blessed and you will be perfect and you will be well equipped for every good work. Your life will not be the same. Now, those folks who would like to start somewhere in the Word of God, I recommend begin with one experiment. I'm a guy, very practical guy, and whenever someone says that this works, I want to just prove that it works for me too. I always test it out. So test it out with yourself. Thessalonians 5:18 says this: be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do you want to know God's will for you? Here's one. Be thankful. Not only in good circumstances, but also in bad circumstances. I have not known one single individual in my 60 years of life whose life is so fine and dandy, trouble-free, pain-free, suffering-free. I've not met one single one yet. In other words, including my own and yours too, we always have one or two things going on. It doesn't matter how old you are. Teenagers, they struggle. You know, what's the meaning of life and all kinds of things. So our life is always something, have one or two things going, you know, we are not really pleased with. So what's your challenge this week? Live with it for a week, that be thankful in all circumstances. It's easy for us to be thankful for blessings and good things, but what about bad things? Something that bothers some, something that worries some, something that annoys us. What do you do with it about? Be thankful about those things as well. How do you do it? Say, Lord, I don't particularly like this thing going on in my life. However, I give thanks to you. Being thankful never means that I'm so happy that this bad thing's happening now. No. Rather, it's attitude to trust in the Lord. Lord, I don't understand. I don't like it either. You can be honest with God. However, I am thankful. I put my trust in you, even in these bad circumstances. And you try it out and find out whether it works for you or not. Okay? And your life will not be the same. Let's bow heads and pray. Most of us, Lord, used to think and believe that God's word is trapped in a book called the Bible. Seldom we open it unless we are in trouble, unless we need help, but most of the time it didn't get our attention. We repent of our sin that we treated God's word like dead, only written on papers. We only need them whenever we are in trouble for courage and wisdom. But God's word, according to your word, is far more than that. It's living and active, and it'll guide us, it'll watch over us, and it'll speak to us, Lord. We've been missing such a great blessing that comes from God's word. No more, Lord, no longer. We will get into your word of God and attach and ourselves to God's word, bind our heart onto God's word forever and continually, so that we could testify to anyone, indeed, the Lord has kept his promise. He guides me, and he watches over me, and he even sees me through in every single day of my life. Thank you, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.